Lord, that's what we are. We want you to make us a house of prayer. We all need to be a house of prayer. Thank you, Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Thank you, Lord. That's right, Lord. I don't want it to burn out. I want it to keep on burning. Lord, we thank you for placing it in our hearts to pray constantly. And Lord, we just ask that tonight you anoint all of us to speak what you want us to speak, Lord. And let's have a good discussion tonight about you, Lord. The things of the word. And Father, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are here and going to participate. We're just going to have a great time with you, Father. I see, Lord, every day, people getting freed up, breaking the chains off, the walls coming down around their hearts, Lord. It is so awesome to watch. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you that tonight's going to be special. Going to have a good discussion. And Father, I thank you for it. We're also going to have good prayer time too. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do tonight in each and every one of us, all around the country and across the pond, as they say. We wear the old Joe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know, that's what the Lord's doing. Did everybody listen to the broadcast from yesterday? Okay. Well, some did, some didn't. That's I would recommend listening to David's anyway. It's good. It's pretty good. The Lord is sanctifying his bride. There's a teaching that David has, and I mention it occasionally, and that's sanctification before blessing. Before we get to blessing, we have to be sanctified. And that's what God's doing right now. He's sanctifying his bride. People are coming and getting deliverance, complete deliverance, to get ready for this great happening. And that's what we all should be requesting. You know, Lord, get me clean. I don't want to be the one that holds back the bride from getting that blessing. So that's what we ought to be getting ready. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody got any prayer requests?
Michael, yeah. I was just wondering, was it you that picked that song?
Huh?
Was it you that picked that song you just played?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I really like Eddie James. He was all the time at our daughter's church in Illinois. He went several times to things he had going on there.
Yeah, I like him too.
Very good.
Yeah. Go ahead, Marilyn. Or Barry. One of y'all, I see a hand. That's all I see.
Yeah.
I think they're here.
I know a guy that runs an internet forum that I go to for news, and he does that on the side. And he's by profession like an IT kind of person that works with the financial arrangements for websites and things like this, and real complicated stuff. He's been out of work since January, and he's looking for a job. His name is Dennis, and like to pray for him to find some good work that'll last a while.
He can get saved because he's a Mormon.
Is this man a Christian?
He's a Mormon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all that. All that temple business. But anyway, Father, pray you bless Dennis with a job. He certainly needs some income. He needs to get saved. He needs to get delivered from Mormonism. And Father, we thank you for doing a good work in Dennis and for providing him with a job that pays well and that is compatible with his personality. And Father, pray you bless him, put peace in his heart until that job is provided. And pray you provide the right job for him, Father, that's a good fit. And Father, we thank you for saving him and bringing him into the understanding of the real Jesus. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. Run somebody by him, Lord, that does know the true gospel and would give it to him in a way that he'd understand and would accept and receive. Thank you, Father, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else? I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus right now. You know, Lord, as you know, most of us think that these things that plague us, these things that bog us down, is just us, when in fact it's a demon a lot of times. Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in everybody's heart to seek you, to get free, break the chains, as the old song goes, break the chains of bondages that people have, Lord, that they would seek prayer and seek deliverance from all of these things that we've drug up from the past. A lot of us have fears. A lot of us have anxieties. A lot of us have, we don't even know what we have, but we know something wrong. And I ask, Lord, that they seek you with all their heart, and that they would want to, people would want to get free completely. We have things sometimes in us that holds us back from running after you with all our heart. And Lord, we know what that is. That's the enemy. And Father, we just ask and we pray that everybody seeks help that has these problems. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Because we're at a time, Lord, as you know, that you're fixing to shut the door. And who's ever there is there. And who's not is not. And I think you're giving us this little opportunity of time to get it all right, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okie doke. Anybody else? How about a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
This will be for prayer. So, my nephew, who was my youngest sister's boy, he's probably 32-ish, maybe. Did you say? Yeah, early 30s. Anyway, he's he was married and in the process of getting a divorce and everything, he ended up having his stepdaughter there at his house, and they end up having, you know, an affair, and she was young, very young, and anyway, he's probably facing like 20 years in jail or so. We prayed for him once before in here, I think. His name is Jacob. But through the whole thing, he's come to the Lord, and he seemed like he's really seeking the Lord. Of course, it's a jailhouse kind of a conversion, but he was, you know, brought up in a household where they honor the Lord and serve the Lord. And he's been a good kid all his life. He just really made a bad mistake, you know. But so we're just praying for, I think it's next Thursday where he comes before the final to get sentenced. So.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
He said he was so convicted by the Lord, he turned himself in.
Yeah.
He had no peace until he did that, turned himself in. So
that's a good sign.
Yeah,
that's a good sign. It's not jailhouse religion.
No, I don't think
it's found true repentance.
Yeah. Strong in their family.
But my sister was hoping more, like he would get 10 years rather than 20, you know, that kind of thinking. So we're just, I don't know, you know, we'll see. Next Thursday we'll find out. So, Father, we lift up Jacob to you, and we just, Lord, thank you for his repentance, and just bless him, Lord God. I know you have plans for him now. God, use him. And, Lord, we ask that you would be lenient. You cause the judge to have a leniency on this sentencing because of because he's your child, and so just give him a lesser sentence than the 20 years that they're anticipating. So you know, we'll just commit that to you, and we'll just trust you for a good outcome, and just we just thank you, Jesus. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, Lord, we lift up Jacob to you. Lord, we know that he's going to have a lot of time on his hands while he's in prison. That's a good thing, that he would get in the Word in the right way. And we ask, Lord, that you run people in there by him that has the true gospel, that he won't get caught up into some kind of religion, and that he would only want you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, if he is one of your chosen, sounds like he is, that you make a quick work in him and bring him back out so he can be a part of this witnessing. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Work in Jacob, Lord. Okay. I believe it's a done deal. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
I could use a little prayer myself, so I'm kind of transitioning. Well, I mean, I could use wisdom for one thing. I'm trying to, for one, eat a little better. I mean, you know, I think one big thing, you know, that's helped this week at least is kind of stop eating and, you know, drinking anything, you know, after about 8 o'clock, you know, because I mean, usually when it's after a certain hour, it just kind of settles in your, you know, stomach and, you know, becomes fat. So I think I've just, I need some wisdom. You know, or I mean, even come against any with, you know, with withdrawals. I had a mild headache Monday, I believe it was, because I mean, you know, from caffeine and stuff. And well, I want, you know, I also want prayer for just any remaining love for the world. You know, anything that would distract me from seeking the Lord more, you know, than I should. I mean, that's, you know, it's always kind of been a struggle. But I think the things of the world still kind of catch my attention at times, you know, and so I need some prayer in that area. You know, so yeah.
What is that? Amber alert. Okay. How do you turn them off?
There you go.
Okay. All right, Lord, we just thank you for giving Joe.
Are you guys getting anything?
About what?
Getting like Amber Alerts or something.
Yeah, well, I just got it. Can y'all hear me?
I'm on your phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, Joe. Joe, Lord, we just thank you for Joe. He wants to get cleaned up here, Lord. He wants to get slimmed up here, Lord. Just give him the overcoming power to push back from the table when he needs to, and not to eat so much at night. And, Lord, we thank you. Even though at night sometimes that ice cream tastes so good, but, Lord, I'm just telling you right now, Lord, that you give Joe the overcoming power to get rid of that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, he's going to be slimmed down, muscled up, and looking good next time we see him in Jesus' name. That pot blessing where he can pig out. And, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you've given him that power. You've given him those tests that come up before him where he can push back from the table and say, that's enough. I don't need no more. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give him lots of wisdom and overcoming power in that respect. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you help him also to step out of the world, not worry about the world anymore, not worry about the flesh. Give it to you and just kick back and rest that he's asked you to help him, and he's going to do it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for complete deliverance from the world and the flesh for Joe. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that prayer helped you, brother. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, that was an Amber Alert in Chattanooga. So my phone and the computer's all connected together. So anyway, we pray for that, Lord. We don't know anything what's going on, but you do. But we ask your mercy and your grace and your protection and safety and the child. And we just thank you, Jesus. We just entrust it to you, Lord. Just intervene, Jesus, and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for finding them real quick.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Let that child be not unhurt, be not hurt at all. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? About a testimony or praise report. What was that the Lord told us the other night, Denny and Debbie, about our praises? What was it? That was Eve, I think, talking about. Y'all remember that? I'm talking to y'all, Denny and Debbie. Can y'all hear me? I ain't muted.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I can't remember what you were talking about yet.
I believe, Tim, you can help out too. You remember when there was an angel at the door and he was taking notes about people?
Oh, yes.
What was it? Praising or something? Something about the party.
He was looking at the hearts. Is that the one where he was in the meeting?
Yeah.
The big meeting. Recording hearts, and then she talked about a specific one
during praise, wasn't it? Checking our hearts to see if we were keeping our eyes focused on the Lord more or less, and not just on the music, but focusing our attention to the Lord. I believe is the way it came out to me. What did you think?
Eve, I went to the bathroom, and Eve said
he
was just recording what we felt in our hearts.
It's a
long thing.
What'd she say? The angel was recording what was in our heart during the meeting.
But, okay.
Eve said to me.
That sounds right.
Yeah, okay. What was recording, he was recording what was in our hearts during praise, wasn't it, or during the meeting?
Yeah, during the worship time,
So that's pivotal. That's something else. And then Debbie had a word from him the other night, too, about, oh, gosh. You blogged
His mercy.
It.
His mercy. Grace. Showers of mercy and grace. And he wants us to come all the way under that and not stand on the edge, because we're – first one was that – a lot of people are feeling not worthy of his mercy and grace. And he was saying how we are worthy because of the blood of Christ, because of the sacrifice, we're worthy. And to come under it and receive his, and then the second one was to receive his healing and restoration, healing wounds and hurts.
Amen. That's what he's doing. Folks, that's what it's doing. All right. Anybody else? That song just keeps burning in my mind, Debbie. May the fire in my heart never burn. What is it? May the fire on the altar never burn out. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. What y'all want to talk about? Tim Bernard raised his hand. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, well, you know, after Tuesday night's meeting, we were talking about, you know, what the changes would be going up into heaven and stuff. And I spent a significant time this afternoon, you know, and stuff and looking things over. And the changes that I, you know, was thinking of as literal changes, it appears that through scripture that's just putting on immortality, incorruptness or whatever, not corruption, it is the change that's happening, you know, it just kind of looks like being called into heaven is going to be just going up there. You know, we might get a new body to get there, but it seems that the changes and the twinkling of eye are all just going to be putting on the incorruption. So I just wanted to throw that out there and see if anybody else had anything on that.
Okay. Anybody got anything on that? You know, I'm trying to do two things at once here and it ain't working. He said there's going to be a change at the last trump. So, whatever that means, I believe, it's just me, the way I've been looking at it, is that the ones that are alive and well at the coming of the Lord are going to be changed in a moment. Just a quick, your glorified body. Now, there's not any, there's not going to be any flesh and blood in heaven, right? There's going to be a glorified body. Glorified body. That body that we have is going to be glorified. Not going to be any blood in it because it's just going to go up. I'm thinking. And that we're not going to have the same problems that we had on earth. We're not going to have the same functions that we had on earth. Once we get up in heaven, everything changes. Everything's going to be on an even keel up there. That's what it looks like to me now. As far as this body, I believe we're going to have a solid body at the last. Not that it's going to be like it is here, of course, but it's going to be a solid body. Because Jesus, what he showed Thomas, you feel me? He said, you feel me? I'm sorry. That's who I am. So, I don't know. I believe Enoch and Elijah got that glorified body on the way up, just like we'll probably do. And it may be, like Tim said, it may be once we get up there that they do. I don't know. Whichever one it is, that's the way it's going to be. I do know that the spirits are waiting on their bodies that are up there now. Yeah, Tim.
You said kind of what I was trying to say in a lot better way. I got notes scattered all over here, but yeah, it was what I finally concluded this afternoon, so thank you.
What do you think, Andrew? I'm sorry, Diane, I just now saw your hand up. Let me get Andrew, and then we'll get right back to you.
Well, I was looking at what it says at the end of, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about those people who would corrupt God's sanctuary, okay? That God himself will corrupt. And it says here, if any corrupteth the sanctuary of God, him shall God corrupt, for the sanctuary of God is holy, which ye are. And we talk about getting an incorruptible body, but we have to remember that the Lord promised us that we were going to be holy, that ye shall be holy because I am holy. He that calleth you is holy, therefore be holy in all your behavior. And so if you're looking toward that incorruptible body, it collates with a lot of other verses, you know, like the 6:11 verse in Romans there, reckon yourself dead to sin indeed. And but you know, there's people who examine themselves a lot. Like, that's what I do quite a bit. You know, I kind of examine myself and probably overly examine myself, you know, and then, you know, it's like the person listening in on something, like if a doctor is talking about diseases, you pretty much think you might have all this kind of stuff. So when I examine myself, I go, well, you know, is that okay for me to do that? You know, is that okay for me to watch an occasional movie, you know, to watch an occasional, I don't have TV, like, you know, from the time the Lord gave me a vision to take away my cable vision, I've got nothing hooked up to my TV except for my player there for DVDs and VHS, and I try to keep it down to a couple of hours a week, but you know, sometimes even that is a condition for me, you know. And I'm getting a little weaker in that, you know. It's also, you know, you can corrupt your own sanctuary. But you don't necessarily want to, you know. Before I came on, I was watching some videos. I watched one video of Billy Graham. Gave a pretty good saying there about having a transformed mind and how you're supposed to have a battle with the things that come into your mind, you know, cast down reasonings and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Mentioned some verses there, you know, that we're all familiar with, and you know, it sort of was enlightening, you know, because I remember when he came here to Ottawa, you know, and I still remember the 6 verses that he had in his in this booklet, where you cross a bridge from one side and it's a picture of a cross, you know, and it's interesting, anyway, that one could keep those verses that long, you know, and take memorize to heart, you know. And what I mean to heart is you want that in your heart, because it's to love the Lord by covenant, you know? And he was talking about the attacks on the mind and how people also need to love the Lord in their mind, because that's part of the covenant. And you know, it makes me just sometimes wonder what's sometimes going on with some people, you know, in their minds and stuff. Anyways, you know, sometimes you can get into all these woe is me kind of items, and you know, it's kind of like you're murmuring even almost with the Lord, and I'm going, I shouldn't be doing that. You know, I shouldn't be murmuring against the Lord. I should be focused on what He wants, you know. And so, you know, it's good to have a fellowship like this, but you know, it's, I don't know if I should go look up some of my old friends there that I used to know in Christ a long time ago. You know, one of them still maybe works in the place I work at. But you know, sometimes you just need a physical person to be there to bounce off things. And this friend of mine, well, it was his brother that was my friend, and they were twins. And his brother passed away. And of course, it was David and Danny. And Danny's still around. He might still be working at the university where I work. Anyway, it's not, you know, when you get a hold of one of these people, man, you just want to talk to them about the Lord all the time. It's sad to be alone, you know, and you push at anything, you know. My new son-in-law, you know, he likes fishing. So I found my old fishing rod that I have in the closet that hasn't been pulled out for several years now, and I'm getting excited about going fishing. And you know, and hopefully he'll talk about the Lord to me, because I remember him talking about Proverbs chapter 3, and oh boy, you know, like, that was before he was my son-in-law. Oh, was I ever excited to just hear someone else talk about the Bible and the Lord. And it's you know, you get into contact with the Lord, and you know He knows all these things, and He knows what's on your mind. And I got really good evident proof of that once when I was at the bus stop waiting for the bus, and a bus that wasn't supposed to stop stopped and says, "I'm going for one bus stop here. Do you want to hop on?" I'm going, wow, you know, the Lord was reading my mind there, because I was just thinking that. So I know the Lord knows what's on your mind, and the enemy wants to corrupt your mind, and he wants to bring in things that are wrong, you know. And it's like you almost always have to be hammering down on this thing. And you go, a few times, you know, I even thank the Lord for it. You know, I go, "Thank you, Lord, for sending that. I know it's a test from you. I know you're sovereign over all things." But, you know, other times, you know, you get to being a little bit more of a battle, because you don't think it's from the Lord sometimes. And you just think you're being attacked by the devil, and the Lord wants you to be trained here. And, you know, and I find a verse that really helps me a lot is those, I can't really remember where it is, but you're supposed to be fixed not so much on the past of your life, but in the present and in the future, what God has planned. And because if you start dwelling in the past about things where you went wrong on things, that's a formula for starting another battle that you don't want to get into, because they would invade you then, you know, those words that go into your head when you would prefer to hear a word from the Lord, you know. And the Lord does speak to us that way, you know, sometimes very clearly. You know, he might speak to us in the same voice as even someone on this conference call. But, you know, it's the Lord. It's not that person. Because if you think it's that person, then you're really a little bit flipped out. Anyway, so the Lord can pretty much do anything. And I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It's just, you know, everybody wants the incorruptible body. But there is a corruption here, you know. If you corrupt someone, anyone, you know, and I sometimes think about this in relation to Romans chapter 14, you know, there's some really young people in the Lord out there. You know, and you get a little bit nervous when you're around them because you wonder if I start talking about the Lord and about the Bible, are they going to shut me out or something? You know, so you have to be really, I guess, conscious or aware on how to approach other people. Anyway, you know, you pray for your loved ones and you want them to know the Lord. And sometimes you get some ideas of writing some notes and Christmas cards and sending them to them and a witness, you know, maybe even four good verses of showing that they're supposed to be in a new life, in the Christ life, you know. And, you know, you get disappointed when you go over, you don't see what anything happening. And, you know, you think about that kind of stuff again, that's in the past. So for me, you know, it's a tiresome act now. And the Lord knows that I'm alone and I'm really tired sometimes, just exhausted. And I don't know if it's because I'm constantly fighting things in my mind or it might be something else, you know, that I'm missing out on and that I don't know about. I have to re-listen to Wednesday because there was some things there that I think related. I can't tell you offhand what they are now, and that's why I have to listen to what was on Wednesday. And anyway, I'm just gonna pray here for me again. And Lord, I would ask, Lord, that that I wouldn't be so lonely, but you would show me where the brethren are around here. And I know, Lord, that I can't really say a brethren is not a brethren who might be ignorant in some things and might even have error in some things. So, Lord, allow me to be more delicate with any people. And, of course, the people who are not brethren, Lord, I pray, Lord, that, you know, that they would come to the Lord. You know, my desire is your desire there, Lord, for all to be saved. And if you can use me in those instances, Lord, I would love to see you work through me to do all of this, and that it wouldn't be my mind or my will or my might or my power. It would be all yours. And Lord, you know I'm lonely and I sit around a lot and read a lot, don't really get too much exercise. So you know, another thing is I used to love to go to the gym and weight train and be physically fit. I'm not that anymore. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help me to to be healthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for running somebody across Andrew's path that would be hungry for the word, that he could relate the truths that he's found out from your word, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that they'll develop a good relationship there and many more people would come in because of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for doing that for Andrew. Give him some good fellowship up there, Lord. I know what he's talking about. You got to help a lot of times, Lord. It seems like we do anyway. Another human there to relate to and to pray with and to have them pray for you and you pray for them. And it's just an awesome thing, Lord. We thank you for doing that for Andrew. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Father.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, all the stuff that I've learned since I came to UBM, and you know, it's quite a bit of stuff, you know. You think back when I was in all those different denominations that I was in, I'm going, Lord, they still need to know a lot of stuff, you know, and they have huge error, you know. They have, when it comes to the letter versus the spirit of the word there, they have lots of things that they need correction on. And, you know, I don't know if I'm worried about something God's probably supposed to handle and worry about, but, you know, at least it's a concern for all these people. And that's, you know, I'm sure that you people have the same thing, you know, like you think about things where, you know, well, they don't even have this easy stuff straight yet. And how are you going to try to explain to them like the more difficult stuff that's coming up, you know? I know that the Lord has a time set for that, for his people to do that. And we'll have to back him up on that. And we'll have to be there to speak when we feel urged to speak, to defend the truth in the more harder points where people add and take away from the word with the letter rather than the spirit of the word. And that's just the way I feel anyway. You know, it coming from a divorce, you know, that sometimes still weighs on me, you know, but I have to keep it in the past, you know, and I have to direct myself for present and future, because when you pray for people that, my ex-wife, for instance, it's a lot easier than when it was fresh, the divorce. And I just thank God for UBBM and this ministry. It's God's it's Jesus's ministry, and give all glory to him for it anyway, because it's a really good restorer for people, and it really helps a lot. And it keeps you on your toes too. Just keeps you. It keeps you. Anyway, the Lord keeps you. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Diane.
Did you say go ahead, Diane?
I did.
You know, oh, okay. Again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the Diane part.
That's all right.
I don't think the Lord's going to have me go where I was going, but in response to Andrew's sharing, I can relate, because, you know, it has only been a few months since I left the denomination I was with. And the Lord has really blessed me by reconnecting me with Missy. And it really, it is a really big deal just having one person like that. And I know even now, I mean, I love the people that were in my denomination. That's what makes it difficult. And some of them are still trying to, I got a couple texts today. It's kind of like, I want to cut it all off. And it's like, some of them don't want to let me. And it's a real struggle there. But it's hard because even in our, I was telling Missy, even here in our neighborhood, it's hard to, you don't know how to love the people and yet not get sucked into stuff they're doing. You know, we have a lot of dear neighbors and frequently they'll invite us to parties and stuff. And there's always alcohol there. And the one particular neighbor invites us over and over again, and he's really steeped in Catholicism. And he wants to talk about priests and pictures on the wall and stuff like this. And, you know, you'd like to spurt it all out and correct him and just get him help and get on the right track. And it's such a suffering for me that the last time I bowed out early, but God has put this in us, like we're sheep. We need one another. We need the flock together. And UBM, in that regard, UBM is such a blessing to me right now. But I know when you're by yourself, the enemy is such a bully. He's such a bully. He picks on us when we don't feel well, when we're tired, when we're by ourselves. I mean, he's just a bully. And I just, I can understand where Andrew, I can understand, brother, where you're coming from, because, you know, I watch golf with my son. I watch my, and I have to confess, I love watching it. It's the one sport I love to watch. And I watch basketball with my husband, and I hate basketball, but I watch it with him anyway. And I don't understand what's going on, but I still do it. But it's hard because we do have a spirit, a soul, and a body, and our soul does need to do some things, you know, and yet not get sucked into the world. And it's hard. And I think it's good, because if we had a cut and dry set of rules, we wouldn't have to continually keep coming to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do this time? You want me to go to that neighbor's house again? What do you want me to do this time? You want me to watch golf with my son? What do you want me to do this time? But yeah, Andrew, I can really understand where you're coming from. And I'm just going to pray that the Lord will bring someone into your life like he did Missy for me, because it makes a world of difference. Like you said, when you just have one person close by that when you need to throw up, sometimes I call it throw up. Sometimes you need to throw up. You got to get some of this stuff out of you. And then after you throw up, you're okay. But you need to have a person that can handle your throwing up. You know what I mean? But anyway, I don't know if that's helpful or not. But brother, I'm going to pray for you and stand with you, because, you know, I believe the Lord put this desire in you, and he wants to fulfill it. So I'm just in agreement, and I'm expecting to hear that you're going to have a new friend in the Lord soon. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for our friends that we can throw up on. Praise the Lord. I like that. Can I use that, Diane?
Sure.
Amen. Okay. I remember one of the guys here when we had a faction outburst one time, and he referred to it as throwing up on everybody, you know, when they did that. Yeah. Okay. But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about something else. So anyway, Anybody else got something they'd like to share along these lines? This is why the outreach is here, is for all of us, you know, to come together and share these things, you know, to pray about. That's why it was set up many, many, many years ago. Yeah, Joe.
No, I can relate too with you too, Diane and Andrew. I mean, I used to go through that loneliness real bad. You know, I think when I first really God started to seek me, you know, get my attention and seek me out and do the work He's been doing. But you know, He'll bring you through it. Yeah, I mean, like you said, Diane, at times it's a struggle. You get pulled in those directions. I remember when I came back to UBM, and I just was I was being pulled by my mom and her husband, stepfather, you know, and to kind of go back in the world. You know, I was at a crossroads. You know, the enemy was using them to say, hey, come back, you know, go engage in the world, because he was saying some things like, you need to, one time I remember he said one thing and I knew this was the enemy. It's like, you need to kind of go back in the years that, you know, you went down a road and, you know, you kind of took a wrong turn. Cause the enemy was trying to tell me, you know, for all these years, you've taken a wrong turn, Joe, and you need to go back and find out where it was, and you need to retrace your steps. And I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's just like, I mean, I'm not going to go back down that road that you think I should. So, but yeah, it's just, I mean, he will, you know, he's put everybody here at, you know, UBM. I have this on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I like how, you know, it's been a blessing for me, only 300 some miles away, to just travel down to Tennessee and visit every month. You know, that's been a real blessing for me, because I think, and I mean, also, you know, one thing, I don't know how far, you know, this brother, sister, whoever will be, but I mean, sometimes you also got to be willing to travel. You know, that's one thing I learned. You know, I mean, I haven't really had a lot of fellowship in the past so many years, but it's like, you know, God knows, I've been willing to travel. You know, I mean, I used to travel 6-7 hours for fellowship every month, you know, just like now it's like 5 to 6 hours, but it's like, I was willing. I'm like, I want it. There's no one in my area that I know of that is like-minded, you know, that is hungry, you know, or that's not steeped in religion and, you know, this, you know, denominationalism, you know, so it's like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go wherever they're at. And, you know, thankfully they've only been like 7 hours away. So, but yeah, be encouraged, they're out there, you know. I mean, if sometimes, you know, we also got to be willing to travel a little bit further, you know, out of our comfort zone and out of distance wise as well, you know, to, I mean, to find them, you know. And I know God will, you know, honor that. He'll, you know, he'll see, wow, they have a desire, you know, to go a little bit further than what maybe, you know, the average person will. So, you know, he will. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Start a Bible study. I did that one time with some Baptists. Got a ball filled with the Holy Spirit. Made the pastor mad, but that's okay. Go ahead, Wade.
Yeah, we were praying about that today, my wife and I. A special person to communicate with and fellowship with and to grow in the Lord. We're hungry to fellowship with somebody who wants to grow. Because we have friends here that are Christian, but their idea of Christianity is just to sit back and, you know, well, growing is not on their top of their list.
Well, they're growing slowly.
Yeah. But we're wondering what we can do. We have no car. We can't drive. We got the computer, but I'm the only one who, well, the computer is what I'm hoping. Somebody on the internet will click with us, and we'll have somebody to fellowship with that's interested in maturing in Christ. That's about all I have is a request. If anybody knows anybody. That's all.
Wait a minute. I'm sitting there hollering at Wade, and I'm muted. Wade, where where do you live? You, and I'm trying to think. Not Shreveport. You don't live in Shreveport. Oh, out of Lafayette.
Yeah.
Lafayette. Okay. Yeah. You're the only Christian there in Lafayette. Sorry, man.
No, we're not the only Christians here. We can't find anybody that wants to.
You're right in the middle of Catholic country.
Yeah, the Catholic. It's 80% Catholic.
Yeah, so is Andrew. Yeah.
Not easy to find a Christian. But we do. We find Christians, but they're not interested in reading the Bible or whatever.
Amen.
They're interested in other things.
Well, yeah, they want a crawfish bowl. That's what they want.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you for running somebody across Wade and Jeanette's path that's hungry for you. They're tired of the old Catholic stuff, and they're just hungry for you, Father, and they'll be able to minister and be ministered to by whoever it is you send by, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Miss.
Which Lafayette is that?
Louisiana.
Okay. Thank you.
Lower part of Matt. It's the center of Cajun country.
Yeah. And the center of the state, too.
No, lower down than the center.
Well, center south.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Wade and Jeanette, I'd like to. You know, I'd just like to say this. You two are very blessed to have each other. To have each other to be able to fellowship and be in the Word together and all. And I know that everybody on this, not everybody on this outreach has that. And I would like, Michael, if you could pray for me and anyone else that doesn't have that the Lord would do a miraculous work in bringing that about.
Okay. All right. All right, let's just pray then. As David said, let's just pray. All right. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that her prayers are being answered even as we speak now. That you're doing a work in Merle. You're doing a work in her son, in his son. We thank you, Father, that she's going to have a whole family to minister with, and they'll be able to, because, you know, Lord, when that shaking comes, our family members are going to come back to us, and they're going to say, well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be raptured out of hell, or whatever their religious belief is, but they're going to know there's something wrong because a preacher told them wrong. They're not raptured out of there. And people that they know are dying around them, and they're going to want to know some answers, and we'll be able to give it to them. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that Missy does have Diane. Diane has Missy. And Barbara also up there. And Lord, but I know what Missy's talking about. She wants the family to come in. And I'm thanking you, Lord, that you're doing that. You're going to work it in. We don't know how you're going to do it, but we just know you're going to do it. And anybody else that's listening or that's on this conference call, I pray the same thing for y'all, that God is going to answer our prayers. God is first making sure that we're okay. And that we'll have a lot of grace to be able to minister to people. A lot of grace, because it's going to take it. Because they're going to want answers quickly. And we'll be able to give it to them, but maybe not quickly, but we'll be able to help them out. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for straightening all our lives out to be able to minister to our family members, our daughters and our sons, and our granddaughters and our grandsons. our wives and our husbands and family members, our brothers and sisters that we'll be able to minister to in the days to come, and friends. They'll all want to know answers because they know they see a light in us. They see a light, and that light is going to be what they run to, just like a moth to a light bulb. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a quick work, because I know what's coming. I know it's coming. We're right on the verge of this great happening. And Father, ever how you work this thing out, we're going to be ever so grateful, because we know that through these trials, we're going to get repaid over and over and over and over again. Just like Job was, we go through these trials for one reason, to get us straight. And then once we're straight, the blessings come. All blessings come. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our family's lives too, that when that day does come, they'll know where to go. And I thank you for it, for granting repentance and putting a hunger for the word of God in their lives when that day comes, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Also, Michael, another thing came to my mind to pray for. The other day, Alex's aunt and uncle, from his mother, his mother's sister, called. They live in Chicago. These are the ones that took him to Taiwan a couple years ago. And they're going to New York, and you're passing through, and they're going to stay the night. And I wanted to pray about that. I've never met them. I'm not even sure if Merle has met. I think he has met them, but I've never met them. And so I just want to pray about that. Father, I just ask you, Lord, for a blessed meeting, Lord, with Alex's aunt and uncle, Lord. They're Christians. I know last I knew they were going to this big kind of mega church kind of thing out in Chicago, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, that we would just have some good fellowship in you, Lord, and of speaking the truth and sharing the truth, Lord, and that there not be any walls there at all, Lord, and that we would just have a good visit with them, and just a blessed time with them, Lord. And just ask you and this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I ask that you give her missing wisdom and discernment in how to approach him on Christianity, and that they would be a lot further along than maybe she thought they might be. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let it be a blessing to her. In Jesus' name. I know she needs a blessing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Willie. Amen. Hey, Jimmy. Boy, you ought to smell my butt. I'm telling you the truth. She knows what I'm talking about. Man, oh man. I got a little something here I'd like to read if I could. Y'all mind if I read something? Unless y'all got something now. Joe says I can read. I get a thumbs up for Missy. Okay, that's two's a crowd. Let's go. Okay. Hold on just a second and get this stuff out of the way. This is The Believer's Prayer Life by Andy. And he's talking about prayer, the Holy Spirit and prayer. He said, is it not sad that our thoughts about the Holy Spirit are so often coupled with grief and self-reproach? Yet he bears the name of Comforter and is given to lead us to find in Christ our highest delight and joy. Sadder still is this. He who dwells within us to comfort us is often grieved by us. Because we will not permit him to accomplish his work of love. What a cause of inexpressible pain. Hang on just a second. Get this out here. Is that better? A little better audio? Okay. What a cause of inexpressible pain to the Holy Spirit is all this prayerlessness in the church. It causes the low vitality and utter impotence so often found in us because we don't permit the Holy Spirit to lead us. God grant that our meditation on the work of the Holy Spirit may cause rejoicing and the strengthening of our faith. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. He is definitely called by this name in Zechariah 12 and 10. He called the Spirit of grace and of supplications. Twice in Paul's epistle, there's a remarkable reference to him in the matter of prayer. Ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, in Romans 8 and 15. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, in Galatians 4 and 6. Have you ever meditated on these words, Abba, Father? In that name, our Savior offered his greatest prayer to the Father, accompanied by the total surrender and sacrifice of his life and love. The Holy Spirit is given for the express purpose of teaching us right from the very beginning of our Christian life to utter that word in trial-like trust and surrender. In one of these passages, we read, we cry, and in the other, he cries. What a wonderful blending of the divine and human cooperation in prayer. What a proof that God has done his utmost to make prayer as natural and effectual as the cry of a child to an earthly father, as he says, Abba, Father. Is it not proof that the Holy Spirit is often a stranger in the church when prayer, for which God has made such provision, is regarded as a task and a burden? Does not this teach us to seek for the deep root of prayerlessness in our ignorance of and disobedience to the divine instructor whom the Father has commissioned to teach us to pray? If we wish to understand this truth still more clearly, see Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit also help us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Is it not clear? The Christian, if left to himself, does not know how to pray, nor how he ought to pray. But God has stooped to meet us in this helplessness of ours by giving us the Holy Spirit himself to pray for us. That operation of his Spirit is deeper than our thought or feeling, but is acknowledged and answered by God. Our first work, therefore, ought to be to come into God's presence, not with our ignorant prayers, not with many words and thoughts, but in the confidence that the divine work of the Holy Spirit is being carried on within us. This confidence will encourage reverence and quietness, and also, and will also enable us independence on the help which the Spirit gives, to lay our desires and heart needs before God. The supreme lesson for ever prayer is, first of all, to commit yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit and in total dependence on Him, give Him first place. Through Him, your prayer will have a value you can't imagine. Through Him also, you will learn to express your desires in the name of Christ. What a protection this faith would be against deadness and despondency in our place of prayer. Only think of it. In every prayer, God takes a part. The Father who hears, the Son in whose name we pray, and the Spirit who prays for us and in us. How important it is that we should be in right relationship to the Holy Spirit and understand His words. These following points demand serious consideration. Let us firmly believe as divine reality that the Spirit of God's Son, the Holy Spirit, is in us. And do not assume that you know this and have no need to reconsider it. It is a thought so great and divine that it can gain entrance to our hearts and be retained there only by the Holy Spirit Himself. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Our position ought to be that of reckoning with full assurance of faith that our heart is His temple, that He dwells within us and rules the soul and the body. Let us thank God heartily whenever we pray, that we have His Spirit in us to teach us to pray. Thanksgiving will draw our hearts toward God and keep us engaged with Him. It will take our attention from ourselves and give the Spirit room in our hearts. No wonder we've been prayerless and have felt this work too heavy for us. If we have tried to have fellowship with the eternal God apart from His Spirit, who reveals the Father and the Son. And as we put this faith into practice in the certainty that the Spirit dwells and works in us, there must also be an understanding of all that He desires to accomplish in us. His work in prayer is closely connected with His other work. In an earlier chapter, we saw that His first and greatest work is to reveal Christ in His omnipresent love and power. So in prayer, the Holy Spirit will constantly remind us of Christ, of His blood and name, as the sure ground of our being heard. Amen. Andrew always thought that prayer was first and foremost in a Christian's life. I mean, he just, throughout every book I've ever read about him, he always talks about the prayer life of the saint and how we should be praying at all times. When you get lonely, pray. When you get despondent, depressed, any of those things, start praying. Start having those times with the Lord. I remember, it hadn't been just a few days ago, I was reading about Sadhu Sundar Singh and what happened to him. Y'all know the story probably, how that at the age of 15, he'd come to the realization that he just couldn't get a hold of God. He couldn't get a hold of God through Sikh, Brahmanism, any of those religions that they have over in Hindu, in India, and the Hindu religion and the Brahmin religion, his family was involved in both of those. And he finally got to where he said, and he was serious, man. He said, I'll tell you what, Lord, if there's a Lord out there, I want you to reveal yourself to me. Oh, I'm going to throw myself in front of this train that comes by at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it always came through. That train always came through. And he was going to go out there, lay his head on the rail, and let that train run over him. And it got up there close to 3 o'clock, you know. They said, okay. He was tired, man. He was tired of chasing God and it wasn't getting anywhere. Chasing God through Hinduism, chasing God through Sikhism, chasing God through Brahmism, all of them kind of isms, and couldn't find God until he finally made up his mind that I'm going to seek God, I'm going to kill myself. Or God's going to come down and talk to me, or I'm fixing to kill my old stupid self. And you know what happened? There's a light came on in his room. Now, let me preface this with, a few days before, he had gotten so mad at he was going to school in a Christian school. His parents made him go to school there because it was a good school, and they wanted him to get the best education. And he got so mad at the Christians, he went out there and tore the pages out of the Bible and burned them. Every page out of the Bible and burned them. Made his family mad because they didn't believe in desecrating anybody's religion. You know, everybody's religion was okay. But anyway, he was just mad at the Christian. But anyway, getting back to the story, it was, I don't know what time it was, but just a little before he was getting ready to go. He didn't go down there and put his head on the railroad rail. And this light showed up. And he saw it through the hall, and it was coming toward him. He kind of shook his head, said, "What is that?" And then next thing he knew, Jesus was there. And Jesus told him, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he knew instantly who it was. And he fell down on his knees. And the Lord touched him, and the rest is history. He decided to become a Sadducee for Christ. And a Sadducee was a holy man that walked around, humble life. He never carried money with him. He walked mostly barefooted. They called him the barefoot prophet. But he had a miraculous life with the Holy Spirit. He wrote books on the visions, some of the visions that he had. He said, "I can't tell you all of them because English or my language doesn't have the words to tell what I've seen. I can't express it in a way that would, that you could understand what I've seen." God really, and he wasn't, but I think he was 40 when he died. The Lord had gone over the Tibetan mountains, going to Tibet from India. You had to go, what's the name of that mountain range here? Anyway, he had to go over that mountain range and get to Tibet. And Tibet, it's cold up there all the time, folks. I'm telling you, it's cold there all the time. But the only time that they could go up in there, I think it was in May. They have a short window that they can go over into Tibet, and he'd go over there and minister, walk. He walked everywhere he went, and he had some miraculous visions and appointments with God when he made those walks over there. And it was just, you know why? Because he was dedicated. He absolutely surrendered everything he had to the Lord. And he said, "Whatever it takes, it's not about me, Lord. It's about you, and I'm going to do whatever you want me to do." And that's what he did. He met a man up in a cave one time. A lot of people don't know this. I may have related it here. But I found it in a little known book about him. And he met a man up in a cave. And this man he just happened on him. He was up in the mountains where you go to Tibet. I wish I could remember the mountain range. But anyway, he pulled into his cave one time. This guy was in there. This old man was in there. And the guy told him, told him his name. And he said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm praying." He said, I've been praying for 300 years for the church. He said, that's what the Lord has had me do for the last 300 years, is praying for the church in this cave. He said, the Lord feeds me, waters me, and all I do is sit in here and pray. I go outside at times and a little exercise, but my job is to pray. Now, how many of us would be that obedient to where 300 years? Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I have to believe it because I believe the man was a man of God. I believe Saji Sundar Singh was a man of God. I read some of his stuff. He got some wild stuff out there, folks. But it's all scriptural. He talks about going to heaven. Woo, my goodness. Boy, the God. He said he said he was talking to these people. He said, these saints came into the room with me. And the angels came into the room with me. And he got to asking them, quite, now, the saints were people that had died before and came down to visit. And he'd ask this one, these saints, he'd say, what's heaven like? You know, I mean, what did he say? What's it like to die, you know? And they told him, he said, well, it's just like, you don't, for a Christian, he said, you don't feel any pain when you die, unless you're diseased or something. He said, you don't feel any pain. You just pass from one to the other. He said, some of them who are just barely Christian, you know, some of the 30-fold Christian, they don't understand where they are for a long time, and they keep them in a holding place, you know, and keep them, and kind of bring them along and show them what's going on. But he said, for those that have run after the Lord, he said, it's Jesus comes down and gets them. Jesus himself will come down there and said, welcome, my good and faithful friend, and take them on up to heaven. He said one time, said he was up there, and he got up there, and he saw Jesus, and he couldn't take his eyes off of Jesus, and he was scared to turn his back on Jesus. He didn't want to turn his back on Jesus, but Jesus told him, showed him his mansion. And he turned around, and he went, and he tried to keep looking at Jesus, but he finally had to turn around and see where he was going. He looked, and there was Jesus in front of him. He said, everywhere I looked was Jesus. He said, I got to my mansion. Guess who was there? Jesus. He said, Jesus is everywhere. Ooh, glory to God. Man, you can get fired up over something like that, can't you? That's going to be so good when we get up there. But we got a job to do here first. We've got a job to do here first. You see the sacrifice that God wants out of us through some of these old saints. And you understand that our flesh has no place in the kingdom. It ain't got no place in the kingdom. It's all about Jesus and what he did for us. We have to do for others. You know what I mean? We have to die to the flesh. We have to take up the cross, don't we? As much as we hate to, as much as our flesh don't want to. But to leave that flesh behind, because we're servants of man, we're brothers of Christ, and we rule over the devil. That's our job. Okay, I'm through. All right, yeah, Missy.
What was that that you read was from Andrew Murray, was that out of the book, The Prayer Life?
I was muted. The Believer's Prayer Life, yeah. That was chapter on the Holy Spirit and Prayer 9, chapter 9.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. That's a good book. I've been reading that for quite a while now. All right. Anybody else? How many of you like to hear about Jesus? I mean, hear about heaven and what goes on up there? I do. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead. No, you had your hand up. You got to talk now.
Oh, well, I was just in agreement. Okay. But I had been thinking about sharing a dream the Lord had given me last week. And it kind of ties into, you know, people being lonely. And I tell you, folks, the Lord's been putting on my heart that that's going to change, that he's going to be bringing people to us. And, you know, that has just really been on my heart a lot lately. And so anyway, about a week ago, I had this dream that Barry and I were asleep in bed, which is, I think, symbolic of resting. And it was nighttime. And all of a sudden, boy, really loud in my dream, I heard the front doorbell ring. And we looked out the window, and it was a police car with the lights going. But we weren't afraid because we knew we weren't in trouble. We you know, we just had peace about it. So Barry was getting up and getting dressed. And I went down to the front door and went ahead and opened the door. And there was a female police officer there, and she was very, very polite and very nicely dressed. And I told her that my husband would be to the door in a minute. And that was the end of the dream. And I asked the Lord, he had already been giving me the interpretation of it or some of it, but I asked the Lord to give me a verse to interpret the dream, and he took me to Luke, I think it's chapter 11, and my finger came down on, "Know you not this parable," the interpretation of this parable, and he goes on to interpret the parable of the sower. And anyway, I think that it has to do with people he's going to be bringing across our path. He brought this woman to our door. I was kind of wondering if maybe she was symbolic of like the Jehovah's Witnesses, somebody that's under the law. But you know what? The Lord brought her to our door, and my husband was going to minister to her. He was going to be talking to her. And like I say, we were just dead asleep when that doorbell rang. And what the Lord's been putting on my heart is to be praying that he will be bringing people to us whose hearts are prepared with the good soil. I know that there are going to be times, and I know that even for all of us, even right now, you know, we minister as we're led of the Holy Spirit, and we know that it's not on fertile ground. We know that people aren't, you know, maybe able to receive. But for those that have the fertile ground, they're going to be so happy to hear the real good news. And like this lady, the police officer, you know, I think there's going to be people coming out of that, out from under the law, out from under dead works, when they hear the true gospel, and the Lord's going to be bringing these people to us. So anyway, I've kind of wanted to share that. That's all.
Man, that's a good dream. Yeah, I believe that's going to happen. I believe it is. Well, I know it is. I tell you what, I believe some of y'all might be down here. I'm just saying. Okay, anybody else? They call this dead air, don't they? Go ahead, George.
Hey, I just wanted to quip in here that people want to be like Jesus and have a public ministry and things like that sometimes. And if we want to be like Jesus, we got to remember that he had a public ministry for 3.5 or 3 years or so, and he's been interceding for 2,000 years. So if we want to be like him, that's about the proportion of our ministry.
Amen. That's right. A lot of us praying. If you go through the Gospels, you'll see that he prayed a lot. He prayed a lot.
You know, you can get that Andrew Murray book on YouTube. And someone will even read it for you there. It's a picture of Andrew Murray, and then someone's reading it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think they read it. That's something out of LibriVox, isn't it?
I believe. Well, he's just reading it, and you don't see the words or anything. It's just a video of his picture, and he's just reading that book. That same book, you know,
I do a lot better job of reading it than I do.
well, he's got the English accent there, you know, the British one there, so.
Well, I could probably talk that way if I had a little chance, you know, get me a little spot of tea and I could probably do that. Go ahead, Willie.
You know, you probably can pull that off. Just drop it, because you got the country accent going on. So if you throw in more accent in there, you're English after that, or British. You know, it's just country with a little more accent to it. That's all. But yeah, I want to speak on, you know, the blood, everything brought up about it. You know, it's what I was talking about at the Bible study here today with the senior citizens. And so everything you brought up, what I found interesting. And another thing the Lord edified me with, was prayer. And so I was sitting there praying for, what is her name? I think her name is Linda or Lindsay, something like that. But it's one of the nieces of the senior citizens I do Bible studies with. And so I began to pray for, you know, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to keep praying because the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, was there. But they're not used to long prayers. And so I'm like, you know, I don't want to pray too long. People nodding off at the table. We do that as we get younger. but the Lord gave me this really cool edification. And I said, I was like, you know, when you're praying for somebody, this is what I began to talk to them about. I said, the Holy Spirit makes his presence felt. I said, know your prayer has been answered. Now, before I said to them, you got to compare it to the book of Genesis. It says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, and then God said, let there be light. And the way the Lord was bringing this up, it wasn't me, because I found it really interesting about, you know, when the Holy Spirit makes his presence felt as you're interceding or praying for somebody. Have you ever gotten to that state of mind that after you pray, you're kind of like, well, I kind of hope that this happens. You got that distant, oh, I hope this happens, you know. And the Lord had to correct me, you know, because somewhere in the back of my back, you know, there's this, I hope they get better. Even after I felt the presence of the Spirit, it would be that, oh yeah, hope the Lord answers it for him. And so I'll be kind of like in that expectation to want to ask them, yeah, oh, they got better. So how's your next week, Rose Ross? How's your niece? You know, and I'm expecting to always hear, oh, you know, they're going downhill. It's just getting worse for them. But she did bring bad news because we prayed for her last week and she brought bad news. Holy Spirit corrected me. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's present right now. Holy Spirit corrected me and said, if that person dies, they're delivered. And I was like, huh? He said, you all remember the man on the cross next to Jesus who said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. He said, what makes you think that because you prayed and they died, they weren't delivered? You got to be delivered from this mortal body one way or the other. And so I sat there and I was like, that is true. And he said to me, you remember the other man? He was stubborn, you know, bitter, unforgiving. Even though he knew he deserved to be up there on that cross, there was no repentance found in him. That man died and went to hell. Showing, you know. And I was like, yeah. He said, and then I started talking. This is the things I was saying to them. He began to tell me about, you know, I share with them if little what happens to little children when they die and why they die so early. Why so many of them have passed away. But I just wanted to confirm the thing about concerning the blood, concerning prayer. It's like everything I was talking to them about today. So when you're praying for someone, you know, the Holy Spirit shows up. And you're praying, and that person dies. Know of a surety your prayer has been answered, because the Spirit doesn't show up unless it's to give life. It's just not going to show up to entertain your prayer. You know, it's showing up that there might be light given and life given to that person that you're interceding for. You know, just like he showed up before God said, "Let there be light." He moved upon the face of the waters. You know, representing his word, representing people's nations, kingdoms, and tongues, you know, representing the ones that he desired to, he called and elected, you know, and he said, let there be light. And Jesus Christ said, we are light, we are the light of the world. So if the Holy Spirit shows up, why are you praying? And he makes his presence felt, you know, most assuredly, you're the light of the world, a city on the hill that can't be hid. Expect your prayers to be answered, you know, and expect the enemy to show up, you know, after that. Did God say, you know, is that person going to be saved? You know, because he would show up every single time after I prayed for someone. And I knew the Spirit was present. He would show up later, right after the prayer, a couple seconds after the prayer. Whew. Hope it happens. You know. And try to take away that faith. But it's all right there. The Spirit's present there. You know, the light of the world is there. God said, let there be light. It's all there. And then there was and then he said, life started forming. So this Holy Spirit shows up, moves upon the face of the waters, you know, us, and says, let there be light. To whoever you interceding for, expect that prayer to be answered. You know. Who are you interceding for? A person who's void and without form in darkness upon the face of their hearts. You know, and you're doing the same thing which was done in the beginning at Genesis, you know. But yeah, that's all I got to say. I thought that was kind of cool.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom that you give us at times like that. Praise you, Father. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to relate? talking about. Yeah, go ahead, Dina.
Yeah, one more thing on the blood. I was thinking of the, you know, it's the blood of the covenant, and the probably a, one of the really important part is the covenant that we enter into because of the blood. And I remember reading that book by that E.W. Kenyon, I think it was, on the blood covenant. And he, in that one, he's sharing what the covenant was and gives a few examples in the scriptures when the covenant was made, like with Abraham and everything, was, but it always involved blood. And he shared the story about when with Stanley and Livingston, when Livingston was lost over in Africa. I think he was lost for about 6 years. They haven't heard from him in 6 years. And Stanley, who was a reporter, decided to go looking for him. That's how that all came about. So he starts with a big, either 200 or 300 big, you know, caravan or whatever you call it, on a safari going through Africa trying to find him. And he runs, comes across these big African tribes with these chieftains, powerful chieftains, and it was like there was going to be war all the way. It was going to be an inch-for-inch battle across Africa. And one of his porters kept said to him, cut the covenant. And he thought, what's that? He said, well, you got to drink blood. He said, well, I'm not interested in that. So it went on, you know, and he still was, it was like a just an inch fight for inch. He's not going to get anywhere. And they kept telling his porters, kept saying, you've got to cut the covenant. You know, so he said, what is that? And he said, if you cut the covenant, then all that that chieftain owns will be yours if you need it. You know, and so he became interested. You know, he found out what it was. So he ended up, you know, cutting the covenant with his first chief, where he had a little blood from each, and they poured in a cup of wine. They had to drink the blood, and then they had to give a gift a valuable gift, and he had to give up. The chieftain wanted his goat, which he needed goat's milk because he was sick at the time. He needed goat's milk, so it was hard to give that up. But the chieftain gave him this real beautiful spear with a spearhead on it and everything. And he said but part of what the covenant was is that, that all that you own belongs to the one that you enter into covenant with if he needs it. And all that he owns is yours if you need it. All his enemies are your enemies, you know, but it was, you know, he went through the different facets of the covenant and then how we have that covenant with God. But once you cut that covenant, but he said after he did that, he had that spear, he just marched through Africa. There was no problem. Everyone just really honored because he had cut the covenant with this one chieftain, and they all were in covenant with him and everything. So it was like, you know, after that, they just gave him stuff. He has everything provided for him going all the way through Africa. It was quite a testimony in the covenant. But, you know, it's what the covenant, the blood entitles us to that, to the covenant with God, you know. And so if you think about what we have and what is ours, you know, that all that God has is ours. If we need that kind of thinking, you know, he shares a few of the scriptures on it, but I thought it was interesting. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, anybody else?
I don't own a goat.
I got a quick praise report. Okay, bud.
You know how hard it can be when, if someone's asking you for money all the time, or a family member or whatever, and you just want to help them, and it's always just like you don't even hear from them unless it's, hey, my lights are getting turned off, hey, I'm going to jail, hey, this and that, and you still battle to, because you can give, or even when you can't give, you just feel like God will make up the difference. And you go through trials like that. And I've been through one of those lately, and it's been hard. And late, you know, the last one I got was finally, Bubba, you ain't going to believe what happened. A lady at church bought a trailer for her son. He's going to be in prison for 10 years. And she told me that she would give me the trailer for $250 and another $250 to seal the deal. And my sister down in Georgia, I was able to put her up in basically buy her a house for $300, $400 or something so far. And she didn't even have air conditioning this week, and it's like 105 degrees down there. So she turned on the AC, and she's camping in an empty trailer tonight. And she'll get to see her daughter. She's paying child support to DHS. She was down to the wire of almost losing all of her rights with them 2 weeks ago, and just baby stepping her way back into being a mom and maybe having a life. And I just want to give God praise and thank God for patience and mercy and long suffering, and just thank you, Lord, for answering prayers and for doing a miraculous work in Shelley's heart and for showing her the glory of God. And Father, I can't thank you enough, and I thank you just for your provision and for just turning everybody's heart in this deal and helping us not judge and not get too quick to beat them over the head with the Bible or anything else. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? I want to pray for my grandson, Blake. He gets out in about 6 weeks of minimum security prison. Father, I lift up Blake to you. I don't understand why at times that I can talk to him, that's been so bad that I wasn't able to talk. I was able to say hello to one another, but not talk much. And I don't understand that, Lord. You want to do the work in him, and I thank you for doing it, Father. Lord, you've got me in the rest concerning him, and I'm believing, and I'm trusting you to keep him straight, Lord. Keep him putting that hunger for the truth of the word in him. And thank you, Lord, for doing that for Blake. And Lord, I look for the time that you bring him out here with me, him and his family. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that too. And not only that, you're going to bring him out here just fully on fire for you, Lord. Just like the dreams that we've had about him. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, bud.
I'd like to pray for my, just my work situation, or confess, you know, and have folks agree with me. My tongue, you know, it's still loose a lot lately. You know, I guess that's one of the many battles, you know, things with the flesh and the enemy. I feel kind of convicted earlier about it, you know, but I want to pray that, agree with me that, this is all new for me to be led by the Spirit. I'm starting to get an understanding of what it looks like. But I mean, a lot of times when I want to speak, I know it's in the flesh or it's a demon wanting to spout out something to somebody else, you know, and push them away. But I want to pray that, God put a watch before my mouth, but can you put a zipper on this thing so it'll be harder to open my mouth, you know, harder to, cause me to just blurt out something. Like, you know, like I prayed Tuesday night, you know, this fellow coworker by the name of Tim. It's so, that's a perfect example. So easy just to say, well, you know, like you said, George, it's, you know, you want to beat somebody over the head with the Bible or correct them all the time, you know, and that's not what they need. You know, a lot of times maybe they just need you to say, hey, you know, I'll pray for you or whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, but a lot of times you don't, you know, they don't need you to beat them over the head, you know, and I mean, I could relate with that, you know, so I just want to pray with that. But yeah, agree with me. You know, God would get a hold of this tongue, you know, use it for him and not let the enemy use it anymore. So Father, I just, I thank you, Lord God, that, you have, you've put that on my heart lately. You know, I just, it's been convicting at times, you know, how loose my tongue is, how, you know, the lack of self-control there's been with those who are difficult, you know, those who you've put in my life to deal with that old man, especially, but those, you know, you've caused to come in my path. And I mean, it's nothing new. It's happened before with others, but Lord, now it's time to deal with it. Finally, to just, you know, to get control over this tongue. I thank you that, by faith, I'm already delivered of, you know, this old rotten flesh that, you know, wants to always speak up, wants to always correct somebody when it's not, even when it's not needed. But, you know, even the demons, I thank you for that, already delivering me, you know, something that just wants to beat somebody over the head, you know, like get it together, you know, you know, I've told you this 100 times, you know, why don't you get it? You know, stuff like that. I mean, that's not needed. You know, Lord, I'm realizing more and more, you know, it's not graceful, most of all. And so I confess that, Lord, that's been my attitude lately with some people at work who just, you know, why don't they get it? You know, at times I have to fight back those feelings, you know, why don't they get it? You know, what is their problem? Lord, help me just to, you know, thank you for that self-control. Thank you for that fruit of the Spirit. You know, thank you that the flesh no longer has dominion over my life and over my mouth, you know, over my tongue, to just run wild and just, you know, tell everybody. And it's not just correcting people, but it's just always, you know, whatever I say. You know, a lot of times I think there's a need and there's not. You know, sometimes it's best just to say nothing, you know, just let it be. So Lord, I pray for wisdom in this area, that you just make it totally apparent right now, you know, when okay, yeah, say something, or, you know, tell me, hey, don't say anything, just be quiet, you know, there's no need for that right now. So I thank you for what you're doing, the work you're doing in my life, and I thank you, and I pray for anyone else here who's struggling, or anyone else who ever hears this, you know, down the road, Lord, that you would help them too, that you would give them the grace to overcome in this area, you know, to realize, you know, a lot of times it's the flesh or it's a demon operating through us, you know, and it's, you know, it's not for their good. So I thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Joe and what you're doing. You're running these people around him to overcome. And Lord, we thank you that you have already given him the power to overcome the tongue. And Father, we thank you for these people that you do have around him. And we come against any kind of critical or judgmental spirits around him. In the name of Jesus, we bind them up and cast them off. We thank you, Lord. They ain't going to see nothing but love out of Jehovah. Just see the love of Christ shining out of him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for making him that light in that place of business out there. Because you've got all of your vessels out there, Lord, to help Joe kill the flesh. And we thank you for it, Lord. And he thanks you too. You placed all those people out there for one reason, for him. Thank you, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Joe? Amen, brother. I believe you too. Go ahead, Missy.
Hey, Joe, if you didn't listen to Michael's portion of the Bible study last night, I think that would be a great help to you. I listened to it a couple times.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on the teachings, but no, I saw that and I thought, I think that's what I think it is. Yeah. The title of it.
Good.
Yeah. It's about grace. I think that's what I think it's about.
Agape love and suffering and laying down your life. It was really good.
Yeah.
Amen. It's one of those cases we like somebody else to listen to, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. No, that's for everybody. Well, thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Father, for all my good brothers and sisters here. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Go ahead, Denny. Oh, you just praying?
Okay, no. I was wondering about next time, could we talk about, is the goal of Christianity going to heaven? You know, just...
That's a good one.
Just a question, is that the goal of Christianity? Because in most places, people want to go to heaven and live in a mansion, but is that really what the scripture teaches? So,
that's amen. A good one, brother. That'll show us where our flesh is, won't it? Amen. All right. Is the goal of Christianity to go to heaven? Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you that we're going to have a lot of good discussions about that next week.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us all a good night's sleep. Give us dreams, mm-hmm. Lord. And those of us who need it, about where we are with you, Lord, so that we can rejoice and be thankful that you care that much about us, Lord. And that's most of us know where our faults lie. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the power and the faith to believe that you're doing that work in us. And then we thank you for it, Father. Be with us, protect us, provide for us, and teach us, Lord, and guide us in the days ahead. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night, y'all. I tell you what, Thursday, what is this? This is Thursday, isn't it?